This is Market Wrap with Mo Ansari, brought to you by Compaq Asset Management. Market Wrap is your source for the latest investment news and expert views on the markets, the economy, and personal investing. Visit MarketWrapWithMo.com for more information about Mo and the show. Email your questions to Mo at Compaq.com anytime. Toll-free lines are open now, so call Mo live on the air for answers to your financial questions. 888-581-4140. That's 888-581-4140. And now, here's the host of Market Wrap, Mo Ansari.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari, and for the next hour, I'm going to talk about the markets. What happened today, what to expect tomorrow, in between, whatever you want to know. You can always pick up the phone, give me a call, 1-888-581-4140, 1-888-581-4140, or you can send me an email at Mo, M-O-E, at Compaq, that's with a K, C-O-M-P-A-K, dot com. Looking at the numbers today, again, volatility is up. Markets are down. Triple-digit losses for the Dow, again, down 0.61% on the day at 17,320.71. The S&P down 0.92%, 1992.67. The NASDAQ down 1.48%, 4570.82. The NASDAQ was down 1.36%, 4089.55. The Russell down nearly 2%, down 1.9%, 1154.70. Gold soared today as people found out that the Swiss National Bank will no longer support the currency. What does that mean? I'll explain that to you. But the franc took off to the upside against the euro. The euro dropped about 30% in value, and that is what caused a lot of turmoil. And people who had been buying Swiss francs as a hedge and saying they were buying gold instead of gold, they said Swiss is just as good as gold because it was backed by the Swiss. All of a sudden, the Swiss is going to go up and down as much as the euro. People said, oh, my God, I better buy gold. And gold was up $30 an ounce today, $1,264.80. It's down $1.70 this evening at $1,263.10. We saw crude oil, which was up to $51 a barrel earlier on in the day, plummeted back down to $46.25 a barrel, down $2.23. That does not bode well. We were seeing some stability yesterday. Crude oil was up. It could not hold 50. It's back down today, and it's down another 21 cents right now, 46.04. That could put some more downward pressure on the energy markets. On top of that, bank stocks tumbled today, and that was not good for the market when we got disappointing earnings from Bank of America. We also got Citigroup, which was down about 3.7% after their fourth quarter profits plunged by 86% from a year earlier, weighed down by massive legal and disappointing trading revenue. So that combined just put a lot of pressure on the market. The banks now are paying the legal costs. I mean, they paid the $10, $15 billion for the mortgage fiasco, but now they're continuing to have these problems. Like yesterday, J.P. Morgan, nearly $1 billion in legal fees and legal settlements. These are, you know, all these large banks have made some very bad decisions, and those are coming, and they still continue to do so. That's really what surprises me. They're just big, big, huge bureaucracies. They're just becoming like the government. At the end of the day, they say, hey, it's not our money. It's the shareholder money. And if the shareholder, it's not, it's the taxpayer money after that. So whatever we do, let's try to make some money and do whatever risk we got to take. If we get caught with a hand in the cookie jar, we'll pay the money and we'll move forward. We don't get fired. We just get an extra bonus. That's, I think, one of the biggest problems I see in U.S. banking. People have to be held accountable for the decisions they make. They don't lose their jobs. Nobody gets fired. Everybody gets a slap on the wrist and don't do it again. They say, no, we won't do it again. And that they continue on their corporate careers. If they do get fired, they get an extra $10, $20 million walk-away money, as I call it. If they don't get fired and they take extra risks and they do make more money for the bank because of the risks that they're taking, then they get an extra bonus because they made more money. So it's a win-win for them. And it's when you get into a no-lose situation, they'll continue to make these bets until people are held accountable for the decisions that they make. So that's what happened to the stock market overall. The Swiss bank was a big surprise. Now, let me explain what the Swiss National Bank was doing. They were buying euro dollars every day. Or, I'm sorry, they were buying euros, a euro currency, the currency they were buying, and they would buy it. That would push up their currency, and they would push up the euro and pull their currency back. They would not let the Swiss franc go up. They were artificially holding it down. So they had done this, and it was costing them a tremendous amount of money. And they knew that next week, if the ECB, the European Central Bank, starts to do quantitative easing, that's going to put further downward pressure on the euro, and they will have to spend billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars more trying to hold their currency up. Well, they stopped that. It was a big surprise to everybody, and it really gives a black eye to central bankers, because bankers, like, you know, Yellen, they telegraph what they're going to do. They let them talk about it and talk about it for 6 months or a year before they do anything. You know, Draghi has been talking since 2011. He'll do whatever it takes. Now it's 2015. Nearly 4 years later, they're going to do something or do the quantitative easing on the 22nd. But that's what it's a surprise for the Swiss National Bank. And one thing that has held up these markets has been the central banks. You heard me in 2007 say that, yes, they can print money, they can boost things, but once people lose confidence in the central banks, that's when really the problems will come to bear. And I don't know when that happens, if that happens, how it happens, but we have to be careful of that. The biggest thing, thank you, by the way, everybody that stopped by the seminar yesterday. We are completely full, and it's always nice to sit down and chat. I enjoy doing those, especially with all the questions, and that I can sort of clarify what was going on. And I talked about one of the big themes that worries me is deflation. That's really the thing, and the U.S. may join the deflation club soon. I mean, you know, Japan all of a sudden has the highest inflation rate in major developed economies at 2.7%. The Eurozone, Switzerland, both recently slipped into deflation. The UK isn't far off. Recently, they're reporting the lowest annual percentage gains in 14 years. So, former Labor Department got the report last Friday that showed the U.S. is on its way of joining this club, and it could happen. I mean, you see the headline CPI have dropped to 0.4% from the previous month. That would bring the year-over-year increase in interest rate inflation to 0.64%. That's the lowest inflation rate since 2009, and that was when we were in the depths of the recession, the Great Recession. Commodity price trends, if you look at it, you know, a brief dip into outright deflation, that's a big problem. And the Fed is hell-bent on raising interest rates. So, and if they do make the mistake that we fall into deflation, instead of keeping rates low, they start raising interest rates, a mistake by one of these central banks could really cause a big problem. Once you get into deflation, it is very, very hard to get out of it. It doesn't happen overnight. And that is one of the things that concerns me. Rather than, yeah, the Swiss franc thing was the big thing in the market today, and there was a lot of talk about that, but I'm still thinking about deflation could be one of the things that could hit these markets from left field, and no one knows what happened, and everybody will be running around the circle saying, how do we get out of this now? As I mentioned, the Swiss National Bank shocked the markets today. Usually they talk about this. They lifted their three-year-old cap on the Swiss franc. Dennis Gartman, you know Dennis, he's on the broadcast quite often. He's the editor of the Gartman Letter. During an interview on CNBC, he explained why he calls this decision the single worst central bank move he has seen in four decades watching the markets. This is what Dennis had to say.
Because, one, they gave you no indication that this was going to happen. They had been spending enormous amounts of money, enormous amounts of Swiss francs, which they could create as a central bank out of the thinnest of air. They promised that they would be doing that on a consistent basis. Intervention to defend your currency is very difficult, but intervention to send your currency lower or to keep it lower is easily accomplished. They have quit doing that. The Swiss franc has soared as a result. The sums of money that the Swiss central bank is going to lose is going to be in the tens of billions of dollars. The impact upon the Swiss stock market and the losses that are accruing to Swiss citizens this morning are going to be hard for the Swiss National Bank officials to defend. I don't know how they're going to be able to do that. This really is, I think, a silly decision on their part. It has inflicted enormous losses across the world to a great number of people, not the least of which shall be the people who hold mortgages. We heard that talked about earlier today, predicated in Swiss francs. So the damage has been severe.
Now, can you imagine you had a mortgage of $200,000 or, you know, $200,000 or 200,000 Swiss francs and you live in Hungary? All of a sudden, you've got to pay $266,000 back. Your mortgage just went up by, you know, $260,000. So you've got to pay another $60,000 overnight that your balance went up because now you earn money in euros. And the Swiss franc just went up 30%, and your mortgage is in Swiss francs, not in euros. So that is a big problem. There was a lot of these mortgages. They cut those back, but there's still quite a few out there where the people have got these mortgages because they knew it would be fixed. And unfortunately, with the Swiss franc, and Swiss franc was holding all these euros. They were selling Swiss franc and buying euros to keep the Swiss franc down and bring the euro up. That euro loss, all those euros that they held, lost 30% today. So they took a huge loss, but I think they were concerned that the losses could even be larger when somebody starts shorting the Swiss franc, knowing that they will not be able to hold the peg, as it's called, and that would create even bigger losses. And that's why I think they had to do it now before the ECB made the decision. Christine Lagarde is the managing director of IMF. During an interview on CNBC, she was asked if a surprise action by the central banks that rocked global markets is the right way to do policy. This is what she said.
Well, clearly what is needed is cooperation, collaboration, communication. I've advocated that, and the IMF is very strongly supporting, for instance, the policy of Janet Yellen, who is communicating very clearly. This was a bit of a surprise. I would hope that it was communicated with other colleagues from central banks. I'm not sure it was. And, you know, I'm going to reserve judgment on the pertinence of that move because we have not discussed it with Governor Jordan. And I would certainly want to understand exactly where he's coming from. I think I understand why he's doing it, but talking about it would be good.
Yeah, it's just a surprise to everybody. I mean, usually when central banks make a move, they call the other central banks and say, this is what we are going to do. And central bank coordination has been the big deal. It has, like, all of them talk. But this seems like, hey, they said, oh, you know what? Let's forget about everybody else. Let's let them worry about their problems. We're going to go ahead and do this overnight. They did not tell anybody. And that is when people start doing that and everybody starts moving in different directions, it creates a lot of uncertainty. And you know one thing that the markets do not like is uncertainty. Christine Lagarde was then asked if lower oil prices are still seen by the IMF as a net benefit to the global economy. And this is what she said.
We still say that it's a net positive, but what we're seeing as well is a great variety across the map, whether you are oil producers, oil exporter, oil importer, whether your currency is pegged to the dollar or not, whether you've edged against the currency risk, puts you in a completely different situation. But all in all, we're still seeing on a net basis a positive outcome from the decline of oil prices.
That's my feeling, but boy, it is really starting to hurt now. At $46 a barrel, looks like we're going to go to 42 in the short term and maybe even lower. It's really starting to get to a point where, you know, 60% drop in something in prices is just very hard to take, whichever side, and it takes a lot of adjustments for people to make. And if they don't have any certainty of what is going to happen next, no one is going to be investing in any oil infrastructure or oil drilling, or all that is going to come to a halt all of a sudden. Let me go to a break. When I come back, I'll do some emails. And today I have a great guest lined up for you. You will really enjoy this. Dr. Gary Dayton, he's the author of Trade Mindfully, Achieve Your Optimum Trading Performance with Mindful and Cutting-Edge Psychology. He's a trading psychologist. Remember how these sports psychologists, everybody, all these athletes have it? Well, if you're a trader, he's one of those trading psychologists. Great book that he's written, and he will join us at the bottom of the hour, so just stay tuned for that. Also, if you want to meet with me next week, I'm in Northern California. 21st is a seminar if you want to come, 1-800-388-9700. And we have, I'm trying to open a couple of meeting days for the 21st also. 28 is totally booked up for appointments. 1-800-388-9700. 1-800-388-9700. 1-800-388-9700.
Hi, I'm Mo Ansari, president of Compaq Asset Management. If the volatility of these markets is making you seasick, you're not alone. Many investors are afraid to make a move, but not taking action can be just as detrimental as taking the wrong action. All of us here at Compaq are focused on growing and protecting your assets. That means watching market activity all day, every day, to try and find the great money-making opportunities during the good times and keep your money out of harm's way during the bad times. We have the products, resources, and experience to help you stay ahead of the game. So if you're wondering what your next step should be, let's chat. 1-800-388-9700. I will sit down with you to discuss your options and to help you get past the fear so you can make better financial decisions. Call me at 1-800-388-9700 and let's work together to build your financial future. That's 1-800-388-9700.
Compaq Asset Management is a registered investment advisor. Funds custodian, Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services, member FINRA SIPC.
Market Wrap host Mo Ansari on Do-It-Yourself Money Management.
Some people do manage money and do it very well. They enjoy doing it. Great, do it. But make sure you have somebody that can back you up. That's just as important. Something happens to you and your husband has no clue of what you were doing. So make sure you get somebody that you develop a relationship of trust for a period of time. It doesn't happen overnight. Trust is earned. You want somebody who gets paid on a quarterly basis, so their interest is there every quarter, and they are going to hold your hand for a lifetime. And that's really proactive management.
If you're ready for some help, call Compaq Asset Management at 800-388-9700 and schedule your free consultation with Mo Ansari to learn about his holistic approach to wealth management. Call 800-388-9700. That's 800-388-9700.
Compaq Asset Management is a registered investment advisor, funds custodian, Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services, member FINRA SIPC. Got a question for Mo? Call 888-581-4140 right now to talk with Mo live on the air. That's 888-581-4140. Lines are open now on Market Wrap.
Welcome back, everyone, to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari, talking about the markets, what happened today, what to expect tomorrow. Dow down 0.61%. S&P gave up 0.92%. NASDAQ down nearly 1.5%. The NASDAQ 100 large cap technology down 1.36%. Small cap down 1.9%. Not a good day in the markets. Broke through some support. Crude oil, which was up, came back down close to 0.25% lower. It's up 3 cents now at 46.28. So it's sort of bouncing back and forth. Interest rates, again, down on the day. The yield on the 10-year note is down to 1.775, down 6 basis points. And the 30-year bond down to 2.411. So big move down in rates. They continue to move lower with the prospect. Everybody is expecting rates to go up. The Fed is expecting the rates to go up. But I don't know. I mean, they continue to move lower. And with the negative interest rates we're seeing around the world, you know, U.S. interest rates still look good. So that's really why it's going to be very difficult for the long-term rates to go higher. And that's why I think, you know, if you listen to what Janet Yellen said during her last press conference last month, she said energy prices, the transitory drop in energy prices should not delay that process. But if you look at the markets, the expectations for inflation over the long term are very, very low. Look at the 10-year break-even rate implied by inflation-protected treasuries. The TIPS, as they're called, is just 1.6% over the next decade. So, you know, that's one of the things that I want to make sure that the Fed does not make a mistake here. And if they do and the economy inflation is negative and they start raising rates on top of it, that'll slow down even things more and we get stuck in a deflationary cycle. What happens then is people say, look, I've got, you know, I can buy this stuff for $5,000 today, but tomorrow it's going to be $4,500 or next month. So why should I buy it today? Let me just hold on to my cash. They don't buy it. So a month or two later, it's $4,500 as prices continue to drop. They go, oh, well, okay, it's 40, but maybe in a couple of months it'll be 4,000, whatever I wanted to buy. The same thing. So they don't spend money. The less they spend, the more it causes deflation, and that slows the economy more and more. Because people, 70% of the U.S. economy is consumption. If there's no, people are not spending, it puts it into a downward spiral. But once that inflationary mindset takes hold, it is very difficult to get out of that. Look at Japan 20 years later. They're printing money like it's going out of style now. Yes, they've pushed up their inflation rates, but their economy has not responded to it. And that's what I start to worry about. At some point, it's pushing on the string, and that's really the tough part. Then the central banks have lost. They can control inflation, but if you get into deflation, it is very difficult to get out of it. And I don't know if you're going to go there, but you know, something to watch and something to think about. Let me quickly go to an email here. It's about Radio Shack. I got that the other day, and I didn't answer. This says, "Hi, Mo. What is your opinion on Radio Shack? I bought it at 40 cents a couple of days ago. It was offered another $500 million recently. You've been hearing rumors for a month or two about Amazon possibly buying them out. Do you think Radio Shack can turn around? And if Amazon buys them out, what exactly does that mean for Radio Shack investors? Thanks, Gary in Palm Springs." He listens to Money Radio, 1200 a.m. in Palm Springs, California. Gary, this stock, I just don't like Radio Shack. I know there's this rumors that Amazon might buy them. It dropped again today. It was down 15 cents to 25 cents, was it? 26 cents last. Dropped 35% today. I just, you know, you're betting on something that something might happen. Radio Shack is just a company of the past. I don't. Who has been to a Radio Shack lately? Somebody who wants to buy some special plug or something for a couple of dollars, but you're not going to go and buy a new TV at Radio Shack or a phone at Radio Shack. Very few people do that. I just think there's better places to put your money. That's the way I look at it. Let me go to a break next week. I'm in Northern California. Again, if you'd like to meet with, come to the seminar on the 21st, the evening of the 21st. Make your reservation today. It is free, but you have to have a reservation. 1-800-388-9700. 1-800-388-9700. On the 22nd, I'm going to have appointments, but those are all booked. I'm trying to open a couple of them for the 21st so we can meet with you individually. If you'd like to meet with me, call today, and I'll try to squeeze you in on the 21st. But if you want to attend the seminar, it's free. Come and learn. 1-800-388-9700. Stay tuned. You are listening to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari. I'm going to take a short break, and I will be right back.
Hi, I'm Mo Ansari, president of Compaq Asset Management. If the volatility of these markets is making you seasick, you're not alone. Many investors are afraid to make a move. But not taking action can be just as detrimental as taking the wrong action. All of us here at Compaq are focused on growing and protecting your assets. That means watching market activity all day, every day, to try and find the great money-making opportunities during the good times and keep your money out of harm's way during the bad times. We have the products, resources, and experience to help you stay ahead of the game. So if you're wondering what your next step should be, let's chat. 1-800-388-9700. I will sit down with you to discuss your options and to help you get past the fear so you can make better financial decisions. Call me at 1-800-388-9700 and let's work together to build your financial future. That's 1-800-388-9700.
Compaq Asset Management is a registered investment advisor. Funds custodian, Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Be sure to visit MarketWrapWithMo.com, the official website of MarketWrap, to find out which radio stations carry the show in your area or listen to the live audio stream online. And if you've missed any of the shows or just want to hear them again, we've got all of the archives right there on the site. MarketWrapWithMo.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari, and you're tuned in as you've been doing so for over 25 years now. And as always, wherever you are, you can always pick up the phone, give me a call, and I will be more than happy to share with you my nearly 38 years of trading experience. But for the next few minutes, hold your calls. We are going to go to our guest line, as we do this time of the day, every day. And today on our guest line is Dr. Gary Dayton. He is the author of Trade Mindfully, Achieve Your Optimum Trading Performance with Mindful and Cutting-Edge Psychology. Dr. Dayton is a psychologist who focuses on helping traders overcome around the psychological pitfalls unique to trading while helping them develop the optimal mindset to be successful. He's the president of Peak Psychology, a consulting firm that specializes in developing peak performance in traders. Dr. Dayton, welcome to Market Wrap.
Thank you, Mo. It's a pleasure to be here.
Looking at the book, this is something that I've really thought about for a long time, and there have been a number of books on psychology and how important emotions are when it comes to trading. So many people spend so much time developing their systems, developing the technique, developing this computer methodology, and spending years and years and hours and hours, and when it comes time to pulling the trigger, they just can't do it. So they've spent all the time figuring out the systems rather than working on psychology. How important is psychology in trading?
It's a crucial factor in trading. Now, that's not to say, Mo, that the technical abilities and your system and method aren't important. All the good psychology in the world is not going to mean much if you don't have a good methodology for your trading. But the way I see it, and the way I've experienced it with most of the traders that I've worked with, there are three real components to trading well. One is your method. The second is understanding risk management and risk control. And underlying all of that is psychology.
So that is one of the most important things. Let's start with the title of your book, Trade Mindfully. What does that mean to trade mindfully?
Well, that's a great question. Mindfulness, as your listeners probably know, is a hot topic currently, and rightly so, because mindfulness is the most powerful mental skill a trader can develop. And so mindfulness is a mental skill that we develop through practice, and it gives us a calm and centered mind. And trading mindfully means trading with a steady mind, but it goes further than this. Mindfulness helps us to develop a mental space that does three important things for traders. First, we can see the market more clearly, including subtle signs of selling and buying, because mindfulness enhances our attention. It's very good in that regard. Mindfulness also helps us stay present for the market. Worries about past losses or what future events might occur, they're going to be there, but that's going to recede into the background, almost like a radio, if you will, playing softly as background. And most importantly, mindfulness is going to give us distance on our thoughts and feelings, even strong ones. We may say to ourselves, oh boy, Gary, this trade could turn into a loser. Mm-hmm. But the mindful trader is going to see this simply as thought and not something that's scary or that they have to act on.
So they'll look at the thought and they can set the thought aside, or they can say, okay, this is something that I need to think about, but it will not overcome them. That thought is not going to take control over them, and it will not get them away from what they should be doing. Sometimes those thoughts can manifest themselves and they get much bigger than what they should be. Mindfulness is sort of keeping that in perspective and understanding the thoughts that are going to help you and the thoughts that are not going to help you and keeping them in balance. Is that really what you're trying to say?
Yeah, let me give you an example of this. And this is something I think all of your listeners will resonate to. Let's say we're in a profitable trade and it starts to tick against us a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the mind do? Well, it starts telling us that we should close out that trade and bank our profits. Now, we may be looking for, you know, a large win here or several points, but after a couple of points we're in profit and the market starts to tick back, then the mind starts going and it becomes very insistent and we start to feel uncomfortable. Tension, muscle tension, maybe a queasy stomach, sweaty palms, all those fight-flight symptoms can come into play. And so what do? Close the trade and we feel immediate relief. And we say, I've booked a little profit. I feel good. But what happens then when the trade continues in our direction? Does the mind say, gee, Gary, I'm really sorry I told you to get out of that trade. I'll try to do better next time. No, not if it's like my mind. It's going to start chastising me for the trade, right?
Right.
So, Mo, here's the question that's never asked. Which mind was right? Was it the mind telling you to get out of the trade for fear of losing profits, or was it the mind that's now chastising you for doing exactly what it told you to do just a few moments before? Obviously, neither market is right, but yet the trader believes both. This is where mindfulness comes in. It's the number one antidote, mental antidote, for this kind of whipsawing that our minds can do to us when we're trying to trade.
What makes your book different from others on trading psychology?
Well, I wrote Trade Mindfully based on my experiences as both a trader and as a psychologist. So on a personal level, I understand the unique mental challenges that traders face.
Right.
And I wrote this book to help traders not only negotiate the mental difficulties common in trading, but also to help them develop and grow as traders.
Right.
My goal here was to show traders how to elevate their trading performance by applying some of the state-of-the-art psychology that's available. And so to this end, this is really the first book to bring two psychological approaches to being human performance psychology, as professional sports psychologists use it to help athletes stay on top of their game, and, as we've been discussing, the powerful method of mindfulness.
What are the common mental traps that cause trading losses and missed opportunities?
Mental traps occur, believe it or not, when we use our normal way of thinking and apply that to trading. Let me give you an everyday example, and then I'll bring it into trading.
Right.
Let's say we're hungry, and we're driving along on an unfamiliar road in a town we don't know, and we see a restaurant. So we pull into the parking area, and we see that the building looks nice. Maybe the landscaping is attractive. There's some cars in the parking lot, and we see a couple of people coming out of the door, and they're smiling. So we say to ourselves, ah, this must be a good spot. Let's eat here. But notice how we're making this decision. We're basing it on the appearance of the restaurant. We didn't taste the food. We didn't even interview the patron coming out the door. Our data is that the building looks nice and the people seem happy.
Right.
So now in everyday situations, this is okay when, you know, attention is paid to the restaurant itself. Usually they serve pretty good food. But trading, when we make decisions this way, it can be really costly. So let's bring this to trading. Let's say a trader sees a bull flag.
Right.
And they say, oh, this is a bullish pattern, I'm going to go. But mere appearance can be deceptive. If that bull flag is occurring at the top of a trend, it could be the initial signs of distribution and selling and not the continuation of the trend. So appearance can work for ordinary situations, like choosing a restaurant, but not in trading. And there are others as well, but this is a common one. They're known as cognitive, which is just a fancy way of saying the mental shortcuts we use in decision-making.
Right.
But when we're dealing with risk and uncertainty, we need to do more than that. Otherwise, we're going to fall into one of these mental traps.
Is eliminating emotions from trading actually good, or is it bad as far as taking emotions totally away, being robotic, and being like a computer? Is that good? Isn't that what people say? You shouldn't be emotional at all when you're trading?
Yeah, isn't that what conventional trading wisdom tells
exactly.
us, right?
Exactly.
But, Mo, that's a very bad idea. Trying to get rid of or eliminate emotions, just not a good idea at all. In fact, in my 20 years in psychology, I've never met a single person who can consistently eliminate their emotions for any period of time. It's just not possible. So if we were, in fact, to eliminate emotions from our trading, and we know this from research that's been done on brain-damaged individuals who don't have the capacity to process emotions, we wouldn't be able to trade well. We wouldn't be able to act in our own self-interest. Emotions have real value for us. So what's the problem? What's the real problem here?
Right.
It's not emotions per se. It's struggling with emotions that vexes most traders, not the emotions themselves. When I say to myself, I don't want to feel fear, and I think fear is the number one emotion that traders feel, but it can be in any strong emotion works this way. If I say I don't want to feel fear, it sends a message to our mind to be on the lookout for any sign of fear.
Right.
And your mind is going to bring that right up into your attention. So the more you don't want something, and the more you try to control it or suppress it or get rid of it or escape from it, the more you're going to have it. It's a cruel paradox, but it's true. So we don't want to struggle against our emotions. by trying to suppress them or control them, because then we're just entangled in them. And when we get entangled in them, we're no longer attentive to our trade. Our attention goes internal to our internal state, our feelings and the body sensations that we have and the thoughts that we have. And we lose sight of the trade, and that creates problems.
I call that the pink elephant syndrome.
you tell
somebody, don't think of the pink elephant, and that's all they're thinking about. How can trading psychology positively impact trader skills and abilities?
Well, we usually think of trading psychology in a kind of a negative way, to get rid of negative emotions, to get rid of faulty thinking, that sort of thing. But there's a positive side to it as well. And sports psychologists know this. They help athletes improve their mental skills so that the athletes can execute and improve their athletic skills. So I do the same with traders by following a sports psychology human performance approach that is much more oriented to the positive aspects of psychology and has three basic components to it. I help traders prepare for trading in a high-quality way before they trade, before we turn on the computer screen and open up our charting software. Also, help them execute their trading skills in an effective manner when they are trading. And then when trading is over, help them handle their results by assessing how they perform. And that's like watching a post-game video, right? And we use this information to learn and to better develop our execution and even our preparation skills. So by using the more positive aspects of psychology that sports psychologists know about, we can improve mental and our technical skills in trading.
Dr. Dayton, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. And it's just such an important part of trading psychology and understanding your emotions, not trying to totally disregard them, but understanding them and using them positively, the emotions of trading. Thank you so much for taking the time. Everybody, if you want to get something, you've got to put your systems together, but then you've got to understand yourself. You have to get this book. It's available. You can get it at Amazon.com and most of the other places. It's Trade Mindfully, great book by Dr. Gary Dayton. Dr. Dayton has also passed on a couple of his books, so if you would like to get a copy, call right now. I can't send it out to all of you that'll call. We'll just send it out to a couple of you. We'll send you a copy of Trade Mindfully. If you don't get it, go to Amazon, get it. I mean, if you're a trader, it's a worthwhile investment. I don't think it's very expensive, but it'll be a great read. And once you've got all the systems, first you've got to put your systems together. First you've got to understand trading. First you've got to understand the technical analysis. Once you've done all of that, then you have to start looking at the psychological aspects to become a trader. That's why I say it takes about 5 years to understand trading. You don't become a trader by a weekend course. But once you've got the systems, once you've got the charting, once you understand technical analysis, then the biggest part after you've done all of that is understanding your own mental makeup. What makes you tick? What is going to trigger you to make the wrong decisions, and what helps you make the right decisions? You can call right now if you'd like to get a copy of the book, 1-800-388-9700, 1-800-388-9700. We only have a couple of copies, so we'll try and get those out to you. But if you don't get it, go get it at Amazon.com. Stay tuned. You are listening to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari. I'm going to take a short break, and I will be right back.
Have you ever cut your own hair? Do you do your own car repairs? Would you ever consider performing surgery on yourself? Of course not. So why would you manage your own money? True, you don't have to pay yourself a fee, but do you have the skills and experience to effectively grow your money consistently and safely in up and down markets?
Hi, I'm Mo Ansari, host of Market Wrap and president of Compact Asset Management. Over the years, I've seen a lot of do-it-yourself mishaps. You work so hard for the money, perhaps it's time to let someone else work hard to help you keep that money. At Compact Asset Management, we focus on growing your money safely and consistently. Call me at 1-800-388-9700 and make an appointment for a free portfolio review. Together, we can help you reach your financial goals. Call 1-800-388-9700. That's 1-800-388-9700.
Compact Asset Management is a registered investment advisor. Funds Custodian Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services. Member FINRA SIPC.
You've heard the old saying, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. At no time is that more true than when it comes to your investments. Do you have a plan?
Hi, I'm Mo Ansari, host of Market Wrap and president of Compaq Asset Management. If you're still in the hold and hope mode, it may be time for you to consider a plan for your financial future. Investors are becoming traders, and unless you can successfully move in and out of these markets, your investments could take a beating or you could miss out on a great opportunity. At Compaq, it's all about the plan. I start by meeting with you to discuss your goals, then we make a plan that fits your lifestyle. But when things change, we revise the plan so it's always customized to fit your current needs. Call me for a free consultation at 1-800-388-9700 and let's work together on your financial plan. Call 1-800-388-9700. That's 800-388-9700.
Compaq Asset Management is a registered investment advisor, funds custodian, Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
Mo Ansari returns to the Bay Area on Wednesday, January 21st for his seminar, Top Investment Themes for 2015. Call now for your free reservation, 800-388-9700. You can also make an appointment to meet with him one-on-one on Thursday, January 22nd. Call 800-388-9700. That's Wednesday, January 21st for the seminar and Thursday, January 22nd for appointments in the Bay Area. Call 800-388-9700. Right now. That's 800-388-9700 or register online at compaq.com. That's compaq.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Market Wrap. I'm Mo Ansari talking about the markets, what happened today, what to expect tomorrow. Dow up 0.61% on the day. The S&P, or I'm sorry, down 0.61% on the day. S&P gave up 0.92%. NASDAQ was lower by 1.48%, and the NASDAQ 100 lower by 1.36%. Russell down 1.9%. Let's go and take a look at the charts, starting with the S&P. We slice through the 50-day, we've gone through now the 100-day, we broke that also. The next support, and that's a logical place to go, will be the December low, which is right around 1972. Also happens to be the 200-day moving average is right around 1965. So I think we've got a little bit more to go on the downside. Then we get a bounce out of this. The fourth wave, it looks like we're in a third wave down. But if we go through 1965, I think then we'll have to seriously think about what is going on with these markets, because there's really no support on the charts once we go through 1965. Yeah, there's a little bit of support around 1905 or so. That's what I would be looking at. That's the low in August that we made, 1904. And there's a bunch of highs there, too, which we made in April and May. But then October low is 1820. That's really what we have to think about. 1820 gets a little painful from 2060 to 1820. That's down 240 points or 260 points. And if you take that and divide that by 2090, which was the high, you're looking at a 12.5% pullback in the market down to that level. That gets painful, and that gets to the point where the market will be at a tipping point at that point in time, where it looks like, you know, are we really starting another bear market, a deep correction? Something would be, I would get concerned if we're down to those levels. So at this point, I would be a little bit cautious, a little bit conservative. Don't run around and get too aggressive. You know, if you've got high yield, I would cut all of that out, which we did about 2-3 months ago. Very little left in our portfolios there. Increase your bond allocation if you're conservative. You say, well, while bonds interest rates are going up, bonds are not going to do well. Well, they're doing well so far. This year, interest rates continue to drop. And if something happens to the stock market, it'll be indicating there's a problem with the economy. Stock market moves 6 months before the rest of the economy moves. So that's something that we need to think about. So I would watch this market here a little bit carefully. But that does not mean you run and sell everything. Oh, my God, the world's ending. And all of that sort of thing. That's where this is where the market shakes out those people. But an outside day key reversal in the NASDAQ, where we are higher above yesterday's high, close below yesterday's low, not a good indication. And the S&P, I don't know if you saw an outside day key reversal. Yes, we did. We went above yesterday's high, did not close below yesterday's low, which was 1988. We closed right on the lows today, or close to the lows. The low of the day was 1991. We closed in 1992. Tomorrow, if we gap lower, that would not be good. But crude oil continues to move lower. That's another problem that we have. It just is drifting and drifting. And now we could get a bounce out of crude. And if we do, if we could have closed above the 20-day today, 47.82, it would have been nice. Yesterday, as I'd mentioned, we were bumping right up against it. And, you know, we just couldn't. This morning we were above it when we hit 51.27. But then we closed at 46 all the way down, 21. So that was not good. In that, and if the market gets below, what was that low day before yesterday, at 44.20 or so, if we break 44.20, then we're headed to 42, 40, and then really the real support is 35 to 33. That's the support where the market made a low in March of 2000. That's one thing that we have to watch, or 2009. That was at the depths of the recession. So, you know, you start thinking, is this oil just because of overproduction, or is it a global slowdown that is starting to see? Is this a copper bottom? What do I mean by that? You know, everybody said, copper has made a bottom, and the bottom just fell out of copper the other day. And as you know, people used to say copper has a PhD in the economics, that whenever copper goes, there goes the economy. Well, you know, markets have got sort of away from copper, but it still does indicate, industrial production a little bit. And so we have to watch that and think about that. Is the market telling us we're going into a synchronized global slowdown around the world? The U.S. is the only one that's flying. It's out of four-engine plane. If you're looking at three engines, two are out. One is sputtering. Europe and Japan are out. China is sputtering. The only one that is holding up the plane is the U.S. economy. How long can it do that? That's really the case. So we'll have to wait and see. And see what happens to the markets. Wait till you see what happens to support. And in the next few days, if we do test the 1965, 1972 low, then what happens there, the 200-day moving average, something to watch. That's all the time that I have today, folks. Again, I want to thank you for spending this hour with me. What I do, how I do it, come to the seminars. I'll show you what I do, how we do it. And the complete financial planning, that's really the key. That what are you doing and why are you doing it? That's really one of the most important things. A lot of you have made a lot of money. You've come back. Your wounds are healed from 2008. Don't get those wounds again. Don't self-inflict those wounds again on yourself. Make sure you have a strategy. Make sure you have a way that maybe, you know, you're going through these gyrations, but if things turn bad, you have a way to get out of harm's way. You have somebody who's done this before. You have some way, and now is the time to do it, not afterwards. Now is the time to put those things in place. Give us a call if you want to meet with me or come to the seminar on the 21st, 1-800-388-9700 in Northern California. It is free, but you have to make a call. I can't do that for you. 1-800-388-9700. Have a wonderful evening. I will be back with you at the same time tomorrow. Until then, good trading.
Ansari's opinions about specific investments are not investment advice or recommendations to any individual listener. Mo's opinions are not based on the specific financial situation of any investor, so they may be unsuitable for some investors. Compaq Asset Management and its clients may own some of the investments callers ask about. Therefore, Mo may have an interest in giving a favorable or unfavorable opinion of the investment. Because of time limits, individual investments owned by Compaq and its clients cannot be specifically identified. The information on MarketWrap does not constitute a solicitation of the sale or purchase of securities. You should consult a professional financial advisor before executing a security trade or taking any other action based on information contained in this program. Customer Funds Custodian, Fidelity Institutional Wealth Services, Compaq Asset Management, Compaq Securities, and Mo Ansari are registered investment advisors, member FINRA SIPC.